This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe. Pro Orca, just in case they ask or someone happens to be blaring this podcast out from an ocean voyaging yacht. I feel it's important we at least put it in, a hearable form for the orcas. I don't think they're going to bother learning an inferior language.
Yeah, what if they start blasting Journey to the Fringe to keep the orcas away because they think that they're on their side? In which case, should we say right now?
No, I think the orcas are smart enough to be able to differentiate somebody pleading for a truce or at least not to be harmed by them versus the people on the ship.
You're right.
They can identify the rudder. They can identify who's a friend and who's an enemy. I think so.
Yeah, I think they just feel it out.
Anyhow, we are your podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today with a Chelsea episode. And that's, I think, unless it's orca-related, I'll let her take over.
If it was orca-related, were you going to just do the
episode? Yeah. It's kind of like going into the pile for Go Fish and getting what you want. You just continue.
Yeah.
Wildly speculating.
I would generally say that my favorite bro is the Mothman. However, in saying Mothman, I feel like I'm boxing myself in a little. Because I found out that there's a whole wide world of winged humanoid cryptid type beings that I would love just as much as Mothman. And I say love loosely because it's based on a fear-based love. And I also say it loosely because I don't want Mothman to hear me and seek out his revenge later. Today I thought I should expand my horizons. Let's take a look at one of the other options of winged humanoids. Today, that option is gargoyle. In contemporary fiction, gargoyles are typically depicted as generally winged humanoid race with demonic features, generally horns, a tail, talons, may or may not have a beak.
Yeah, that come to life in the night, and I believe they fight crime over New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're talking about the same gargoyle.
Yeah.
Gargoyles can generally use their wings, if they have any, to fly or glide, as wings generally work, and are often depicted as having a rocky hide or being capable of turning into stone in one way or another, a reference to their structural roots. If they don't have wings, they will scale the building's outer walls and either walk the streets at night. It seems so much less scary if they're just walking.
See, I think that would be worse, because they can be way closer to you if that's the case.
Really? Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I seem to picture it as less menacing, because the wings give them superpowers.
Well, they still have the wings.
If they're walking, they're just like everyone else.
But they still have the wings. They're huge.
Not the ones that walk.
Yeah.
They don't have wings.
They don't?
Or do you think they're like ostriches? They're just too bottom
heavy.
And they're just for decoration. Huh. I never thought of it that way.
I mean, I guess
anyhow,
when you look
some
up
of them walk.
When you look at like gargoyles on churches, I guess not all of them have wings. And they're like, some of them are what, like just, 2 feet tall? I guess those ones seeing walking around would just be really troublesome, but like,
I just assume they all had wings. It was my assumption, fully. Do you think they're jealous of the guys that do have wings?
Oh yeah, and especially like the 2 foot tall ones. Like, they're gonna have to deal with a lot of inferiority complex. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what they're better at.
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe they're good listeners, I don't know.
They'll walk the streets at night, or they'll just go inside the building. I don't know why. Gargoyles are known to protect buildings from evil spirits. gargoyle comes from the French. Oh, God, I meant to find this out. Now you have me guessing. Gargouille? Probably not French at all, what I just said. But here we are, unprepared. Which in English is likely to mean throat, or is otherwise known as the gullet. Latin gargula, or gullet or throat, and similar words derived from the root gar, to swallow, which represent the gurgling sound of water.
I guess that makes sense. Water's passing through their throat, so they're just saying, like, quite literal.
Yeah. Obviously, gargoyles are known as a part of architecture. The term gargoyle refers to figures carved specifically to drain water away from the sides of buildings. I think I ordered this wrong, but we're getting gullet, throat, swallow, all going back to how they were directing water away from buildings. And they've been around for a long time. Even going back to ancient Egypt in the form of a lion head at that time, and then Gothic architecture, we see more of a gargoyle as we know it today, carved or formed grotesque.
I really like that everybody throughout history seems to agree, you got to make where the water goes fancy, like somebody's spitting it.
Yeah, you have to do it in the form of an animal, and it's coming out of their mouth.
Like they're spitting it.
It's one of those things that defies cultures and time. A grotesque is a broader version of a gargoyle. And I found the architectural history so interesting of grotesques. Grotesques often depict whimsical, mythical creatures in dramatic or humorous ways. They have historically been a key element of architecture in many periods, including the Renaissance and medieval periods, and have stylistically developed in conjunction with these times. Although grotesques typically depict a wide range of subjects, they are often hybrids of different mythical, human, and animalistic features. Which is funny that I'm reading that when we were in Barcelona, there's a building that had a bunch of gargoyles on the side of it. One of them was a unicorn.
Well, and it's funny they're saying like an animal creature when like a gargoyle isn't really an animal per se. Like the Egyptians used lions, and yeah, I guess you could say a gargoyle is like animal shaped, but it's not like depicting a specific real animal.
Yeah, so gargoyle is a type of grotesque, which is, I don't know if the ancient Egyptian ones fell under that, but we're splitting hairs. Many scholars describe grotesques as being used to ward off evil and as reminders of the separation of the earth and the divine. Grotesques are predominantly carved into buildings of religious significance, in particular churches and cathedrals. Despite their presence in religious spaces, their anthropomorphic designs are largely not directly religious and instead are often more whimsical without religious connotations. They commonly exist on high ledges and rooftops and are frequently positioned out of view from common areas. There are divided ideas as to the purpose of adding gargoyles to religious structures. Some state that gargoyles were meant to illustrate evil and sin, while others have posited that grotesques in architecture were apotrophic devices. In the 12th century, before the use of gargoyles as rain spouts, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux was famous for speaking out against gargoyles carved on the walls of his monastery's cloister. Saint Bernard emphasizes the absurdity of these beastly figures, pointing out their strange combinations of bodily parts. Saint Bernard was a Cistercian.
Oh, the dog guy.
I guess so.
Was he a dog by chance?
He was.
He spoke out against them, saying things like woof and grr.
Saint Bernard was Cistercian, meaning he was unimpressed by the more ornate and expressive decoration used in any given cathedral church. Because of this, he was repulsed by gargoyles and found them insulting to the church. Gargoyles, traditionally believed to ward off spirits, have inspired various interpretations over time. Some view them as remnants of pagan mythology, while others suggest they were designed to intimidate humans rather than demons.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Why would demons be, like, intimidated by things that look like them, after all?
Yeah. such as the acid-spewing gargoyles at Amiens, meant to deter wrongdoers. Anthropomorphic gargoyles like harpies or cynocephali symbolize the punishment of sinners. Others serve purely decorative roles, like the monkey statue of Jacques Coeur's palace, reflecting the personal tastes of exotic influences. Ultimately, gargoyles likely held different meanings depending on their context, and viewers should avoid assigning a single purpose to all of them. As Lester Brittingham cautioned, Gothic sculpture is,
He said we shouldn't assign, like, one purpose to all of them, but isn't, like, every one of their purpose to spew water? Like, in name-wise?
Yeah, I was going to say that once I got okay. to the end. I'm pretty sure that was the purpose of them. Sounds like some of the people just didn't like the way they looked. Maybe it scared them.
Maybe. Maybe that's the person who came up with this intimidates me and not the demons.
Yeah, maybe. As Lester Burbank Brittingham cautioned, Gothic sculpture is rich in symbolism, but overinterpretation should be avoided. Don't you ever hear that, like, in art history?
Don't think
or
too much about it.
Like, don't overthink this. It's Gothic sculpture.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
It is not to be overthought. If anything, don't overthink Gothic architecture. A French legend tells of Saint Romanus, a 7th century bishop of Rouen, who saved the region from a fire-breathing dragon called La Gargouille. Described as having bat-like wings and a long neck. The beast was either subdued by Romanus with a crucifix or captured with help from a condemned man. Though the monster was burned, its fire-hardened head and neck survived and were mounted on the church to ward off evil. In honor of the saint, Rouen's archbishops gained the right to free a prisoner during his annual procession.
Would you want that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess you could sell it for money at a certain point.
Oh, hold on. What part of that are you asking if I would
No, the reward of getting to free a prisoner once a year.
No, I don't think
so. No, that feels like a weird responsibility. And, like, I don't know. I don't think I would do the research, and I would feel guilty about that.
I don't know. You know what, though? In my mind, and this is my mind, and if this is the times of old, I just picture everyone in a prison like Aladdin, and they're all just like good-hearted young men who were just stealing
There's diamonds in the rough.
To their family. So, yeah, who are actually diamonds.
But then are you going to put the effort in, or are you going to feel like, I don't know, last minute you're going to try to, like, guess, or are you going to just accept, like, whoever pays you to say, like, my kid didn't do this, here's $20, free him.
It could be a mix of both. I'm just going to, like, it depends.
It doesn't feel like a reward. It feels like a responsibility.
It does. And it depends on what I have going on in my life in that time, I gotta say. And how much thought and time I had to put into that thought.
But also, now that I think about it, they didn't seem to put any, like, asterisks on that power. So you could, the day before you get to use that power, you could go commit any crime that the punishment isn't, like, instant death. And then you could say, I'm the person I want to free.
That's true. But, I mean, you're putting a lot... The town's probably all prisoner. You don't know how many prisoners there are. That would be banking on that you're the only prisoner.
No, you get to pick, right?
Oh, if you pick. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd be the one committing all the crime. Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to spend, like, the whole year in there. But, like, you just commit close to your, like, annual I get to pick. And then just say it's me. I pick me.
Yeah. Do you know how many people I'd be threatening in those few days coming up to the procession? Like, don't fuck with me. I could murder anyone and let myself out of jail in 2 days. We could only wish. Times were so simple. Anyhow, I know I did describe what gargoyles look like a little bit, but I'm gonna do it again because this is about gargoyles after all, and I feel like you really need to know what they look like. They're creatures who ward off evil spirits and presence.
Sorry, I was expecting the next words out of your mouth to be like, Disney describes gargoyles as.
In Aladdin. I don't know why it said presence there. Churches often had these creatures on the roof to ward off the devil and demons. Somewhere along the way, gargoyles were seen as evil and were taken down. Somewhere along the way, they were also used to divert water off the rooftop. Are they? Did I cover this? It's my episode. Were they used as decoration?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll talk about it. It seems like they're implying that they were later used as decoration.
Well, they are, yeah. And, like, the whole point is, yeah, like, to make the water falling look fancier as if it's being spit out by some ungodly demon-like thing.
Exactly. Who doesn't like that? I'm surprised we don't use them to this day on houses. I really wish we did. I actually have a couple gargoyles in my house, and they are not doing that. They are just purely to keep the evil spirits
out. I feel like it's one of those industries that just priced itself out of the average person's expenditure.
True. Yeah. You would need a mason to do that. Gargoyles are guardians, protectors, and they do no harm to anyone. Gargoyles are often seen as evildoers and often hide in the shadows to do this, which is directly contradicting what I just said. Gargoyles have been known to step in the light for someone strongly willing to see them and have been known to bond with anyone who truly believes they are good.
Oh man, so like this is all just evidence that none of us truly believe enough, I guess?
I really do feel like I do believe in them.
Yeah, or did like most people that listen to this podcast have like a very different understanding of gargoyles and they're like, yeah, these things are real. Like you just like them so much and we're just the outsiders who don't think of them as anything but stone.
It's really hard to say. A gargoyle is a creature that comes to life during the night and turns to stone during the day. They are often to be believed by many to be alive and can see through their stone exterior. Those who truly have respect for such a creature tend to bow their heads in respect, and the creature often will return the respect. See, now I don't do that. I've never bowed my head to a gargoyle. Not even the ones in my house. The gargoyle can be of any shape and size. Some have beaks, others have hooves. There are many different types of gargoyles, but the most common are the feline-looking ones with chains on their necks. While the chain means a few things, the most common one is control. To chain a beast is to control the beast. Gargoyles, while enjoy being bonded to someone, often do not like being controlled. They also will never harm anyone in any way for anyone. Gargoyles are often the best guardians and protectors because not much can harm them. And, you know, in just thinking about it, this isn't a part of my notes or any of the research that I've done, but when you look at architecture, there's nothing really other than a gargoyle that is put onto a building like a gargoyle. And, of course, anything that has a face, I would say, just theorizing here, you would think something on a building like that would be given realistic characteristics, that they come alive at night or something like that, because...
Well, especially when you make them, like, creepy like that.
Yeah. I mean, even if it wasn't, like, oh, I guess they're statues. I didn't think of that. There are statues. Do people think of statues like that? I don't
think I think there's one episode of Doctor Who where it's like the entire concept of the episode is when nobody's looking at a statue, they can move.
Yeah, like today's special. Yeah. Like you put on a hat. And
who I'm sure stole it from Swedenborg or something.
Probably. I'm focusing on gargoyles in this episode. There are other popular legends around them that I'm not going to focus on too much here, but here is a little snippet for your consideration. Golems. They are usually made of magically animated or transformed stone, but have animal or chimera traits and are often guardians of a place such as a cathedral or castle. They can also be depicted as vessels for demonic possession or as a living species resembling statues. Most fictional gargoyles throughout the 20th century have been evil creatures or horror villains, but the notion of gargoyles as heroic defenders gained popularity in the 1990s following the animated series Gargoyles. And it is not uncommon to see them depicted as sympathetic characters who may work together with humans.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I think about it, there's not that many works of, like, movies or TV shows that I can think of where gargoyles are bad guys, despite the fact they look like bad guys.
Yeah, and I think that just comes back to the legends around it, that they're protectors. With that being said, let's talk sightings. The best part of any episode. And
before we go too far, I'm pretty sure one of the Mothman sightings in Chicago described it as gargoyle-like.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It did. I think that's a part of what's happening in Chicago as well, and I
too many churches?
Talk about that a little bit, I think. Yeah.
Well, what with the Pope being from there and all? Is that why they picked him? Is that why they've been rising up so much? Is because the Pope needs to be from there or they'll keep rising or something?
Did the gargoyles elect him? Hold on. How many gargoyles are on the... Oh, Catholic Church. The Vatican. Is it run by gargoyles? We'll never know. They would never tell us. Now let's talk sightings. First, I'm going to focus on a rather large encounter of the Butler Gargoyle in Butler County, Pennsylvania. The Butler Gargoyle is described as a towering winged humanoid with a grotesque appearance. This creature has been sighted sporadically since at least 2011, with some accounts stretching back to the early 1990s. But is this creature a genuine paranormal entity? A product of folklore, or simply a case of mistaken identity? Let's dive into the mystery of the Butler Gargoyle and uncover what makes it one of Pennsylvania's most intriguing cryptids. The Butler Gargoyle is a cryptid primarily associated with the towns of Chicora, East Brady, Rimsburg, and Keppel's Corner. Witnesses describe it as a humanoid creature standing 7 to 9 feet tall, with a muscular build, leather-like or pale grayish skin, and bat-like wings. Its head is often reported as flat or resembling a bicycle helmet. Well, those are two very weird things. Sometimes with a ridge.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Or pointed ears, and its face has been described as smashed, swept up, or even absent. The creature's claw-like hands, backward bent legs, and deliberate movements contribute to its eerie demonic appearance, earning it comparisons to traditional gargoyles and even the Mothman. Unlike many cryptids, the Butler Gargoyle appears unafraid of humans, with witnesses noting its calm, purposeful demeanor. It is typically sighted at night or twilight, often crossing roads, standing in fields, or disappearing into woods, adding to its mystique as a creature of the shadows. So let's talk the first documented sighting. The most widely recognized first sighting of the Butler Gargoyle occurred March 18, 2011. On a rural road between Chicora and East Brady in Butler County. A businessman driving at night initially mistook the creature for a deer. Oh, fuck. But was stunned to see an 8-foot-tall figure cross the road in just 3 steps. He described it as muscular with leather-like skin, darker tan or light brown, to be clear, a flat head with a ridge, pointed ears, claw-like hands, and wings tucked against his body. He is seeing incredible detail on this. The creature did not look at him and walked into the woods, leaving the witness shaken. The encounter was reported to paranormal researcher Stan Gordon, as noted in Cryptid Quest. Sounds very official. Some sources, such as Cryptid Wiki, mention an earlier sighting in June 1993 near Allentown, Allegheny County, where a group, including a man named John, his girlfriend's son, and son's fiance, saw a 7-foot-tall creature while looking out at Baker's Point. This creature was described as fur covered with wings, a protruding jaw. He had an underbite and muscular legs, and it walked past their car without fear before flying away. However, this sighting is less detailed, differs in description, fur versus leather-like skin, and is in a different county, which makes me wonder if it wasn't of a related but different creature.
Maybe a flying Bigfoot, perhaps.
You know, I wouldn't rule that out. Maybe they're just not reporting on the Bigfoot with wings. The 2011 sighting remains the primary starting point due to its detailed documentation and subsequent reports, and I would agree, that first sighting, the detail on that's incredible. Following the initial March 18, 2011 sighting, several other reports emerged in Butler County, suggesting a cluster of encounters. These were documented by Stan Gordon and shared on platforms like Phantoms and Monsters. March 26, 2011, Keppel's Corner. Two witnesses stopped their car in shock as they saw an 8-foot-tall dark tan creature with a smashed face, muscular build, long arms, claws, and wings leap across the road. The witnesses were so convinced of their sighting that they offered to take a lie detector test. March 2011, East Brady, a motorcycle rider approximately 75 feet away, encountered an 8 to 9 foot tall creature with very dark leather skin, swept up eyes, a pointed head, wings, and muscular build. The creature bolted into the woods and the witness described it as straight from hell. I'm just picturing what he just described and I don't even know what swept up eyes and a pointed head would even fucking look like. What? March 2011, Rimsburg. Two witnesses about 35 feet away saw a 9-foot-tall creature with dark brown skin, long arms, broad shoulders, a pointed head, another pointed head, flat forehead, pointed ears, bat-like wings.
I gotta say, see-through. The descriptions that you're giving for all these, it's very hard for me to envision, but I'm sure they seem natural when you're actually seeing it.
Well, when you're seeing it, you're probably like, there's no other way to describe it but a pointed head.
Like, is it like Patrick Starr? Like, is that a good comparison?
I guess, now that you say that, yes. Bat-like wings with see-through mesh and 4 claw-like fingers. Jeez. Its eyes were squinted and swept upwards.
Huh.
With a slit-like mouth. The witness also described it as straight. Am I reading the same thing?
I guess. They had a lot of description.
Yeah. As noted with its abnormal arm movements. The original witness from March 18 reported 2 additional sightings. Early April 2011, on the same road in daylight, the witness saw the creature hunched beside a hay bale, appearing 3 feet taller than the bale. Holy shit. It had a grayish cast, black claws on the ground, and wings above its shoulders, staring directly at the witness. Oh no, I don't like that.
I see, Chelsea, just to bring it all back now, that is a walking gargoyle. That is terrifying. It's not flying at this point.
No, he has wings.
No, he has wings, but he's not flying.
But he has wings. Mid-April 2011, he saw him at dusk, 500 yards from the previous sighting. The witness saw the creature from the side and back as it entered the woods. These multiple reports in a short period fueled speculation about the creature's presence in Butler County. Now, I gotta say, an overwhelming part of a gargoyle is that it would never hurt humans and it's protective. Where do you draw the line on testing that?
Yeah.
Because obviously if it's a gargoyle, it's not going to hurt you. It's going to protect you.
Well, I guess that's how you know whether or not you're seeing a gargoyle or not, is whether or not it hurts you.
But...
Because it can't be a gargoyle if it hurts you.
Was anybody hurt by a Mothman? I can't remember now.
I don't think we've covered anywhere. You know, I don't think we've covered many actual interactions with cryptids or other creatures or there's an injury. It always seems to be close, but like nobody's actually been injured in anything I can think of.
Now, I will say with the Mothman, and I'm interested to see if it comes up here, you get the overwhelming sense of dread and fear.
And I'm guessing this, it hasn't come up yet, but there's no mention of like a sulfur smell.
Not as of yet. So I'm interested to see if those things do come up, because maybe that is what's setting a gargoyle apart from a Mothman, is that sense of fear. I don't know, but to me, like, this could potentially, at this point, be the same thing. Except I've never heard with Mothman, and maybe it's just misfiled that he had a pointed head or upward-looking eyes.
There seems to be a lot more variation in the head with a gargoyle, almost like, you know, because their heads can erode or something like that.
You think it's just like...
Yeah, due to water. It's a lot pointier.
Yeah, it's true. After the flurry of 2011 sightings, reports of the Butler gargoyle became less frequent but continue to surface. Mid-July 2012 onwards, campers and others in Butler County reported seeing a similar large winged creature in the same general areas, though these sightings lack specific details as noted in Phantoms and Monsters. June 5, 2017, a significant report came when a delivery truck ran off the road about a mile from previous sighting locations. The driver, visibly shaken, told a witness that what he saw was not a bear, as claimed by state police, but a winged demon from hell. Rumors circulated that others had seen similar creatures around this time, though no further details were confirmed according to Phantoms and Monsters.
Now, Chelsea, at this point, is it really safe to say the gargoyle is non-harmful if, like, by implication of what it's done, this person has crashed?
He ran.
Is this kind of like how Batman has, like, a moral code where he can't kill people, but he can leave them, like, completely damaged and destitute and basically dying by the implications?
I want to say I have a good feeling. I feel like I felt them out, like, a little bit. I feel like, no, they wouldn't do this. I feel like this is probably Mothman. So, Mothman's a dick. No widely documented sightings have been reported since 2017, and searches for encounters in 2025 yield no results, suggesting the creature has either gone quiet or remains unreported in recent years. The Butler gargoyle legend may have deeper roots in Butler County's history. Some sources, like Paranormal Strange Wiki, suggest its origins trace back to the early 20th century, with sightings of a creature lurking in rural areas and atop buildings. These claims are vague and lack specific dates or witnesses, making them more folkloric than factual. There are also references to historical events that might be connected to the cryptid. The Chicora meteor explosion, an event in the area possibly linked to unusual activity, though no direct evidence ties it to the gargoyle. 1970s sightings, reports of a hair-covered creature north of Butler County in the 1970s, which could indicate a broader history of cryptid sightings in the region. Fairly vague. One questionable sighting mentioned in the cryptid wiki occurred in Chicora, where witnesses claimed to see a Mothman-like creature after leaving a bar, but this report is often dismissed due to the witnesses' likely intoxication, highlighting the controversy around some accounts. So let's jump right to Reddit after
I knew mass Reddit would have sighting? Some juicy stories.
Oh yeah. User delicious underscore step underscore 1814. When I was around 19 years old, there's one occasion when I went up to the rooftop of my house around 8 p.m. to fix an issue with the pump device that supplied water to the storage tank. As I reached the roof and leaned forward, I looked up, and just a few steps away from me, there's a creature with its back turned to me. Holy fuck, first of all. Based on other stories I've read or heard, I could compare it to something people call gargoyle, or maybe a Mothman. I saw how the full moonlight reflected off its head, which seemed to have a texture like black leather. I could make out point. Do you think they're wearing a suit?
This one might be, but overall, no, I haven't gotten that feel from gargoyle sightings so far.
Well, they keep saying it's like leather. What has skin like leather? Like, literally nothing.
Cows? We literally make leather from skin, Chelsea.
Yeah, that's true, but I wouldn't, like, go up to a live cow and be like, wow, leather.
Well, if it didn't have hair, though, you would see the skin and it would be thick. What about a rhino?
That's true. Okay, okay.
Or, like, hippo.
I misspoke. Yeah, I misspoke.
Which I would say would be, like, the most rock-like of mammals, in fact.
It's true. It does have rock-like skin. Okay. Black leather skin. I could make out pointy ears and a pair of protrusions that I assumed were wings. Okay, so tiny wings, if he's calling them just a pair of protrusions. Everything happened so fast. From the moment I climbed onto the roof, looked up, and saw it, I immediately made a sound of confusion, huh? Which caused that thing to instantly turn around. The last thing I remember was a pair of yellow eyes and a sort of Batman-like effect, and it raised its wings over my face.
What's a...
I hate that.
The wings had to be bigger than just, like, little nubs on his back then. And what is a Batman-like effect?
I don't
know. Did, like, music start Reddit. Playing? By, like, John Williams.
And he talked in a real deep voice. I do know someone who does a good Batman voice. It's probably like that. I'm certain I experienced a time lapse because of feeling the flapping of wings over my face. I lost my balance backwards, falling off the edge of the roof. This is for sure Mothman. This is no way.
Yeah, I almost feel like the ones severe injury to people, it's Mothman. You are right. Like, he seems like the kind of dick who won't hurt people directly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just getting the vibes now. We've never actually covered that with Mothman, but knowing how gargoyles are now, I just feel like that's Mothman. But when I landed, it was like I had just dropped down hard onto my butt in a completely different position on the rooftop. What? I quickly looked around, but I couldn't see anything. I think it must have been the adrenaline because I got off the rooftop almost in one jump. What the fuck is this?
I thought he fell from the rooftop.
I thought he fell, but I don't think. And now he's jumping off the roof, using the edge for support, and ran into the house, feeling extremely disoriented and confused. Was he Mothman?
Was there maybe two levels of roof that he fell from one roof onto the lower roof? But I feel like he should have explained that.
It doesn't seem like he did fall. I even started doubting whether I had really seen anything at all. But that whole night, I couldn't sleep just thinking that maybe I had seen something and that it could come back and visit my house. What an odd way
so
to put
no
that.
So no dread there when I told... at all. But also this person kind of had a very verbal, huh, right? When he saw the wings.
Yeah,
this is a weird guy. Huh? This is a weird guy.
Yeah. When I told my mom, all I got were skeptical expressions. I only told one of my friends, and I haven't shared the story with anyone else since. Greetings from Mexico.
Okay.
Next story.
Good for him.
I have an experience I would like to tell you about. I did not know this site existed. Reddit? And I was telling my brothers about it a few weeks ago at my son's birthday party. In brackets, they were laughing at me. I live in Itasca, Illinois. And 2 years ago, in August 2020, I went out at about 9 p.m. at night and was putting something in my car. About 50 to 75 yards away, I saw something land in the street. It looked like it was crouching, and it looked the size of a coyote, or maybe bigger, sitting in an upright position. It was too big to be an owl, but kind of looked like a bat owl-looking creature, like a gargoyle with little horns on his head. I was focusing on it for about a minute and kept asking myself, what the hell is that? In a sudden burst with its wings, it kind of hopped up and exploded out of a crouching stance with a thunderous stroke of its wings and disappeared into the trees. I yelped and stepped back a bit as I could not believe my eyes. It looked like a 5-foot black bat animal thing jumping or flying into the trees. I've been reading about other sightings in the area, and my sighting matches what others have seen. I got a good look at the creepy thing, but I do not believe that it observed me because I was watching it quietly. Strickler was able to interview the man via telephone. Oh, this is from Phantoms and Monsters. Quote, the witness stated that he was quite surprised when he noticed the creature, Strickler said. It was crouched under a fairly bright streetlight and about 50 yards in front of him in his neighborhood. This location is approximately 2 miles west of O'Hare International Airport. As he watched, it was apparent that it had bat-like wings wings and that the face was similar to a gargoyle's depiction with small horns on its head. The coloring was gray to black. There was no eye color recognized. The man reportedly went on to tell Strickler that the creature stood 5 to 6 feet in height and that the body was somewhat emaciated but defined. Interesting. The arms were attached to the wide wings that spanned far off the body. It was definitely a humanoid form, Strickler said. He used the word explode to describe the sudden burst of energy when it took flight after just one flap of the powerful wings. The sound of the wings and ascent burst like thunder. It quickly flew into the trees and disappeared. As noted by Strickler, the sighting location is approximately 2 miles west of O'Hare International Airport, which has been the epicenter of recent winged humanoid sightings in the Lake Michigan Mothman investigation, with over a dozen sighting reports coming from the airport itself since August of 2019, and many more reported in the surrounding communities. Reports from the larger investigation have come from every state bordering Lake Michigan and date back to 1957. So yeah, that's my episode. Thoughts?
Well, I have one thing, Chelsea, that I think is its own conspiracy in itself that I Googled while, yes, I searched while you were doing your episode. How many gargoyles do you think there are in the Vatican?
Oh, good one. I want to say there are some because it said specifically on cathedrals or what have you. Hundreds, I'm going to guess.
There are zero.
What? Yep.
Because it is built in Renaissance and Baroque styles, not Gothic, and it actually tries to hide most of the water drainage throughout. Yes.
Well, that's disappointing. So gargoyles are their own form of architecture.
Yes. And okay. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that there's none there, but the rest of all of the Catholic churches, they're everywhere.
Maybe it's because they are within the Catholic Church, running the Catholic Church.
It could be. They're inside.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my episode on gargoyles.
Oh, that's awesome.
Perhaps there will be maybe a part two.
And I never thought about like comparing Mothman to a gargoyle. But like even like we talked about early on, there was that one sighting even before these ones that we talked about where that person described the Mothman sighting as gargoyle-like.
That's true. And if you don't know Mothman, but you know gargoyles,
that's what you're going to describe it as. Or maybe a giant bat, which is basically what a gargoyle is.
It's true. I mean, for any paranormal thing encounter that you're going to have, you're going to use whatever, or anything in life, you're going to use whatever, you know.
You're going to use your experience to describe it, because that's the only thing you can derive it from.
Exactly. And they do have a lot of things in common, which is why I felt like, especially after the Hubei flying entity, that we look into these, because obviously there's more than just the Mothman. There's a lot going on.
Oh yeah, and this is its own like sub episode category I think we can continue on with, because there's a ton very similar creatures like this throughout the world.
Yeah.
So I thank you, Chelsea, for taking us down this rabbit hole. I'm loving it. I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah.
And with that, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.